In the name of Lord Jesus, we shall continue our studies on the book of Joshua. So yesterday we talked about how they have crossed the river by obeying, trusting, following God's will, God's way. And afterwards they have to pick 12 stones and set it on the bank of the water, beside the water, and make it be a memorial stone. The reason is very clear. In Joshua chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The stone shall be for a memorial unto your children of Israel forever." So yesterday night I gave you the assignment. I hope you have finished it. How many of you have finished it and handed it in already? Raise your hand. Oh, so you didn't have time or what? So then use today's the self-study time or the break time. If you really focus, even 10 minutes, you can write it, right? It's not like I tell you like a 10-page essays to be perfectly structured, well-worded. It's like a self-reflection of journal, right? Think about what God has done for you in your life. What are the stones that you left, God left in your heart by the river, by the riverside, and see how God has guided you. When you have gathered all those experience, all those movements, and when the next time you face challenges, you bring out those stones, and you remind yourself, wow, my difficulty is not that great compared to what I faced before. So it will encourage you a lot. So make sure you follow, you use every minute of your time wisely. This is Tuesday already. If it doesn't count today, you only have 3 full days, or including today, 4 full days, and you must maximize every minute to be productive spiritually and edifying yourself. Don't let yourself be loosening right now. If you feel like you're loosening, it's going to be the end, I'm going home soon, I tell you, you waste your effort for the past 10 days here. The last few days, you must push yourself to the limit. Push yourself, focus even more than the last week. Overcome your physical fatigue. Get yourself more disciplined because you are about to reach the top of the mountain. So, those stones are very important. But now they have one more thing to do before they can engage themselves in any military action, is to have the whole group circumcised. For the men who were born in the wilderness. Let's turn to chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. Starting from David, please, brother. Okay, this is another very important instruction from the Lord. Even though they have crossed the Jordan River, but doesn't mean that they can immediately fight a battle and win a battle. In between, there are still something they have to do, is to carry out circumcision for the people. The second time. When was the last time? Probably the last time was the old generation when they received circumcision. You know, what is circumcision? Circumcision is a sign of a covenant that God made to Abraham. For those who belong to him, every male, they have to be circumcised. When they were born the 8th day, let's turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17:11.
And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and you shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you.
12.
Every male child in your generation, he who is born in your house or brought with money from any foreigner who is not
when God made a covenant with Abraham, God promised Abraham, I'll be your God. I will protect you. I'll bless you. I will make you great. Your descendants will inherit the land. God will do his part. But as a person, Abraham has also to do his part. And his part is very easy. For him and all the male born in his house or bought with money, whether it's free or slave, they have to be circumcised. When they were born, the eighth day, if they were babies, to remove the foreskin. In the ancient time, this was not a usual practice. But God's people have to carry a sign that is different than the Gentiles. And that action represents a sign of the covenant that you are God's people. Now, the millions of people born in the wilderness, they haven't been circumcised yet. Probably they didn't know or didn't remind to, or they were in constant traveling, but there was no carry out this sign of the covenant. So God tell them, in order for me to bless you, you have to do your part. You have to fulfill your sign of duty. You have to fulfill, you carry out the sign that I've chosen you. So before they can even engage themselves in any battle, they have to focus themselves with the relationship with God. So that's why on that day, they all received circumcision. Let's turn back to Joshua 5, 9. Joshua 5, 9 next, please. Okay, so this is a very important verse. This is the place where they put the stones. But why it was called Gilgal? Because this was also the place that millions of Israelite men, young and old men, probably not old men, most are young men, and the babies, if they were just born, there was a mass circumcision. And because of that mass circumcision, they have to rest for a few days or to a week, so they cannot go to attack anybody yet. But God protect them. Nobody come to attack them. If during their 7 days, they are resting, if enemy come to attack them, definitely they will all be wiped out. But God will not allow this to happen. God want them to do the circumcision, belongs to God. And we affirm, even though they know God already, they know they were belong to God, but there was one more time through this circumcision, remind them they actually really should clean themselves, should remove the shame. So that's why in this verse 9, underlined very important. God said, I have rolled away the reproach or the shame of Egypt from you. Look at what God said here. You came out of Egypt. You crossed the Red Sea. You received my manna, my living water. You have been guided by me. You are about to enter the land, but on your body, you are still having the reproach of Egypt. And that is the problem. You thought you were okay, but actually you are not that okay. You carry yourself with the shame of Egypt that you didn't know. You thought you were holy, but actually you are not holy. You thought you belonged to God, but not 100%. That's why you cannot go to the land yet. But now you have to cleanse this, remove this, roll away before you can any receive blessing. This is so important spiritual teaching here for all the brothers and sisters, not only for brothers. Circumcision is not only talking about brother, but also sister, all of us together. God wants us to roll away, to remove the shame from Egypt. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Next. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Yes, here Paul tells us how to cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of our body, of our soul. Of our body, of course, whatever we do, if we sin against God, whatever you watch is not worthy of God's calling. Whatever you hear is not holy in God's eye. Whatever you're touching, whatever you're eating, you know, God has given us five senses. Five senses. Each of those five senses are a window. Good things can come in, but bad things also can come in. If you allow godly things, godly messages, godly ideas, through these five senses go into your body, you become holy. Just like in MITS, you've been washing, you've been washed, you've been cleansed. But if you allow evil or sinful thoughts, songs, images, or touch, or anything come into you, your body will get defiled. And if your body is got defiled, your soul also got defiled. Your soul also got defiled. So not only cleansing your body physically, but cleansing your soul, rolling it away. You know, nowadays, you know, there's so many depression in the society. So many young people, they are depressed. In the older time, depression only appear like in middle ages or post labor, like a mother after they have babies, they are so stressed out, or middle-aged people, or people they are retired, they have nothing to do, they don't know what is the meaning of life, they have depression. But now depression age go down and down and down. Not only in college students, a lot of them are depressed, but even so many children, 10, 11, 12 years old, they are depressed. They could not sleep at night. Why? There's so much bombardment of images, songs, videos in their mind, and they were so stressed out processing all those things. And they cannot get rid of it after they watch it. And they're so hooked up to social media. And some of them go into depression in the early stage. They don't know how to deal with the real life, the people, the situation. So that they got depressed. And why? Because constantly the soul was damaged. The soul was damaged by sin. So that's why Paul told us, if you are the children of God, don't let this to happen to you. You are on the edge of entering the promised land. You are just beside God's promise. But if you don't do that last step, you don't roll away the reproach from Egypt. Egypt represents the things that its culture brings to you or wants you to conform to. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2:11. Colossians 2:11, next. Colossians 2:11, next. Yeah. Now, in the New Testament, it's not about the physical circumcision that matters, even for Paul, and telling the members of Gentiles. But you receive circumcision done by Christ. So let Christ every day cleanse you through the word, through reading, through meditating, through reflecting, through listening godly music, godly messages. So remember the word. Where are the place again called? Where did they receive circumcision? Write this down. Even the Hebrew letter. Even though they all look the same. But try to copy it, right? Gilgal. Gilgal means actually a wheel or something which can roll. In the ancient time, people have also stone wheel too for mule or crashing things. And of course, for chariot, they have to roll something, moving parts. So God named them, God led them to name this place called Rolled Away. Not Rolling Stone music, okay? Not rock and roll. Rock and roll only roll you to where? Dead Sea. Really? Rock and roll, raps, worldly culture, worldly music, worldly idea, roll you to the Dead Sea, which is hell. Yeah, if your heart filled with those things, sooner or later, your heart gets secularized. But roll away those dirty things, say bye-bye to them no more. You go to hell, I'm not going to hell with you. You are dirty, I don't want to be dirty with you. I want to roll away those things and go to the land promised by God. So change happens at Gilgal. Everybody should have a Gilgal story. And today's assignment is, write down what are the things that you want to roll away in order to receive God's promised blessing. So that is today's assignment. Where is your Gilgal? When do you want to make it happen? After NYTS, what are the things in your life that you want to roll away in order to receive God's promised blessing? Every assignment I give you actually is related to your own relationship with God. If you don't do it, if you don't reflect it, if you don't seriously think about it, you come here in vain. There's no point of just learning knowledges. I can tell you to memorize 10 Bible verses, 20. You can get 100%. Many of you are very studious. You know how to study. Because your short-term memory is very good. Right? You can study exam, okay, and then next day you can forget everything. So you must write reflective materials so that you can know what you can get from God's message. And that is exactly when you read Bible too. Think about, wow, what does it do to me? So, things change happens as Gilgal. And where is it for you? What are you willing to give up? But I tell you, in order to willing to give it up, it's not easy. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. There was a brother. After going to NYTS, coming back to a local church, he told the pastor, you know, pastor, I go to NYTS, I think I should have make some change. The pastor asked him, what kind of change you want to make? He told me that in the past, I have watched a lot of pornography. I have downloaded a lot of pornography. It's all in my computer. It's all in my hard drive. It's all in my DVD, which I downloaded. I want to get rid of it, but I don't know how. I don't really, you know, those are things are part of me because I was so addicted. I know I want to throw them all away, but it was so attached, I don't know how to cut it. And the pastor told him, thank God you say it out, and now we will help you. If you don't dare to do it yourself alone, the pastor will go and do it with you together. Bring the computer, bring the hard drive, bring everything, and we'll put it in the dumpster together in the name of Jesus. And thank God he listened. He bring everything. And the pastor go with him to the dumpster and dump it all there. He didn't want even to reformat the hard drive or whatever because he know how to recover it. And he knows he will go back to addiction very easily if he don't cut it off totally for a while. So thank God he wrote it away. And another brother coming back from NYTS, he told his girlfriend. He had a girlfriend before he come to NYTS. A Gentile girlfriend. They haven't committed any sin yet, but they were close. And he know that if he didn't cut off the relationship, very soon they will commit sin. Because as young people, getting so close, dating, So he told the girlfriend, sorry, we have to end. And the girl asked him, what happened? What happened? What have I done so that you want to cut off with me? We have to stop? The brother said, no, you didn't do anything. And then the girl asked, then why we should have to end our relationship? The brother said, because I've just come back from NYTS. I know what we have been doing is not good in my God's eyes. So we have to stop. And we have to end just here. And thank God the brother has the courage to roll anything which is not ungodly in God's eye. Whatever has happened, has happened. You cannot unchange the things which you have done. You cannot undo it, but you can roll away it. This is very important. You don't look back and say, oh, you know, I really shouldn't have done it, right? Regret it and think. And now you have repented enough. Now you have confessed enough. But now it is the time to think about your action plan. When I go back, what must I give up if I want to live a godly life? What must I give up if I want to be pleasing to my God? What must I give up if my God can use me for a higher purpose? So this is for today's assignment. And you really have to do all and every single assignment that I have given you. Don't think that, oh, just take it easy and don't give it. If you don't give any assignment, you will not pass this class. So you have to be serious, right? Like an army, in the army. If you're told anything, you have to do it. Don't even skip one assignment. It's for your own good. You don't come here for holidays. Right, you come here to be trained as a Christian soldier because you are going to fight a very serious battle when you step outside the house next week. So, NYTS is not for fun. It's not for holiday or a camp or a retreat. This is a soldier boot camp. And you are being trained as a Christian soldier. So, discipline. Look at them, right? If they want to claim the land, they have to have discipline. So now they are ready. They cross the river already. The first stop is Gilgal. And now they are facing Jericho. All the things they have been doing were a checking of their relationship with God. So in summary, all the things they have done before is to reveal what was the relationship with God before they can even enter the promised land. We always forget about this step. We always think that, you know, I want to do this for God. I want to do this holy work. I want to receive God's blessing. I want God to help me. Yeah, the list can go on, but you always forget one very simple fundamental thing. What has been my relationship with God like? Just like if your friend or anybody, if you don't have a good relationship with that person, how can you approach him and say, oh, I need your help? Right? He will not even care about you. He don't even listen to you if he hates you or he dislikes you so much. So the problem today is we haven't checked our relationship with God. So crossing the Jordan River and then now receiving circumcision, they check everything with God. They check all the relationship with God. Just like a car, broken car, go to the garage. The mechanics check everything, see what went wrong. And after they fix all the problem, they're ready to go ahead. Now, after they check the relationship with God, receive circumcision, roll away the shame, one more thing they have to do, and actually, is to keep the Passover. Chapter 5, verse 10. Next. The Passover is an action of thanksgiving to God. Of course, it's to remind them God's salvation. But why do they have to remember it? Because they have to give thanks to God for saving them. And now, after reviewing everything, they enjoy Passover. Of course, every year they do Passover, but this year particularly, this Passover is very important because they have crossed the river and they are already in the promised land, even though they haven't taken hold of any city yet. But after this Passover, something happened very specially. After this Passover, they started to eat and enjoy the fruit of the promised land, as we see in verse 12. Verse 11 and verse 12. The day after Passover, they eat the fruit from the ground. And then verse 12 said, manna stopped coming. And from that year, they ate from the ground. So this is the end result. Even though they haven't claimed any city, but they already start enjoying the promised land already. So this is the journey already. You can say that, wow, looking at all the things that they have prepared themselves for, it's worth it. So brother and sister, do you want to enjoy the fruit of God's promise to you? The peace and joy in this life, good family in the future. You enjoy your servitude in God's house. You have so much love in your heart, and you feel God abide with you. And every battle you face, you will win by God's power. Then follow this journey that we have been going through already. And now, you think that they are ready for battle, but the book of Joshua said, not yet. There's always one more thing when you think you're ready, which is to meeting the army commander. Let's turn to chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Next. Meeting the army commander is the crucial part because the most important thing in a battle is strategy. And who gave the strategy? The army commander. And the army commander is the person you have to know who he is, and when he speaks, you must listen. But now, Joshua has to meet the army commander. So that's the last step of preparation, is to meet the boss. Meet the biggest boss. What did Joshua see? He saw a man. And that man have a saw in his hand. And the saw is not just hidden, but rather already drawn up and in the air and is holding a knife and facing right in front of him. Now, what does it mean? For Joshua, it means that this man is a warrior. This man is not just any man. This man could be very dangerous if he is the enemy. Or this man can be neutral. He doesn't belong to anyone. Then maybe Joshua think, I can recruit him to help me if he is a good fighter. Because Joshua thinks that I am the commander and I need support. So what did he think? He was thinking, is this man is for us or against us? It was a very normal mentality that he was focusing on the battle. He was focusing on himself, his side, and he want more support to his side because he was thinking that he was the commander and he want people's support. This is worldly thinking. Just like in a military campaign or in a political campaign, you have to choose side, or you want to bring people to your side Do you support me? Okay, vote for me. Do you support me? Okay, donate for me. If you support me, fight for me. But God wanted to come down to change his idea. And who was this man? And of course, you see later, he himself said, I want to be the commander of the Lord's army, verse 14. And of course, nobody else can be the commander of the Lord's army. Who is he? The Lord Almighty God himself. And when Joseph fell down on the ground, he accepted. He accepted Joshua's worship and paying the homage and bow down. Who can do it? Only God. Not even the angel can receive people bowing down to them. Only God can receive it. So who was he? The Lord God Almighty. But now, what did the man say? We have to be very careful to listen. What did the man say to Joshua? First of all, he said, verse 14, no, neither. I am not for you. I am not for your enemies. What did the man say? Your answer was not even closed. Sometimes we think we are smart, right? Oh, who are you for? For me or for my enemies? God said, neither. Your answer sometimes doesn't even come close to what God thinks. God said, I want to be the commander. I am the commander, actually. Basically, what he is telling Joshua, I want to take your job. You think you are the commander? No, you are not. Who is the commander? The commander is he. Is here. Is the Lord Almighty. So what does it mean, brother and sister? Victory is possible only when you put down yourself. Only when you deny yourself. Only when you are willing to let God lead you. So immediately, Joshua bowed down. When you're having struggle in your life, when you're having problems, remember, it is not your own battle. You don't ask God to support you. I know a lot of time we pray like this, God, help me, right? Oh, God, support me. Help me to do what I want to do. No, you don't pray like this. You pray the other way. God, where is your direction? Help me to follow your direction. Help me to follow you. You are fighting, not me. I'm just your soldier. I follow you. Right? So, look at this animation. A modern one. Wow. Immediately, Joshua have to knee down and then bow down. Two things Joshua must do. First, bow down, right? We have read chapter 5. He falls to the ground. Chapter 5, verse 14. That means totally humble himself. Not only sitting down or kneeling down, but totally fall down. You know, in the past, in the Old Testament, when people saw God appearing to them, they have to fall down the face, even the face fall down. If you look at the Muslim people when they pray, you know what? Or even the face bow down, and like not only the hands, the feet, but even the face touching the carpet. I'm not saying that we have to learn from Muslim the posture of praying, but just telling you in the ancient time, when people saw God appear, they have to humble themselves to the lowest, not even just kneeling down on the ground. But of course, that represents today the total humility. Yes, you knee down to pray. But does your heart knee down towards God, toward his truth, toward his instruction? Let's turn to 1 Peter 5, 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Next. Chapter 5, verse 5 to 6. Next. Young people, submit yourself to the elders or the senior. And that is the most important thing as young worker in church we have to learn. Even though you think you are smarter than the old people, you are more educated, you know the gadgets, you know different languages, you go to school, you have a lot of degrees. But in church, humility is the most important character. Yes, you're educated, you want to do something for God. But don't forget, if we do not humble ourselves, God cannot use us. So if the elderly in the church, if our RE teacher, our coordinators, if the preacher, deacon, minister, they say something to you, you have to take it seriously and humble yourself to take the advice and instruction and sometimes rebuke. Or if the church have some policy or instruction, you obey it. That means you are humble. Even though you don't agree, but you have learned to humble yourself. You don't only obey if you agree. You obey because this was the instruction. You obey because this is from the teaching of God. Just like NYTS, I'm sure you don't agree any or every rules, right? But since you are here, you choose to be here. You sign up to be here. Nobody force you. So you have to obey. And to obey is the process of learning to be humble. If you come here, to break all the rules, or break all the rules secretly or openly, then you defeat the purpose coming here. So fell to the ground, total humility. I'm sure in the church, you are helping some church work, or you want to help some church work. Remember, humble is how God can use us. So Joshua, he said, I'm not the commander. God, you are the commander. I'll follow you. He fell down to his face. So brother and sister, are you humble? Are you humble? Yeah, yes, you are smart. Yes, you are talented. But are you humble? If somebody say, you know, Pastor, I'm really humble. I'm so humble. Humility is like this. The moment you say it out, you are humble. You are not humble. You cannot say, wow, I pray a lot, so I'm so humble, you know. Humble is not what you say. It's what other people observe. All right? It's not you say, wow, I'm so humble now. Nobody can say this, right? Moses, when he first served God, he was not humble. But after a long while, he was trained, he was so humble. Now, the second things that Joshua must do, God told him, let's turn back to chapter 5, verse 15. God told him to remove the sandals. Joshua was expecting God to tell him something because he already fell on the ground. He wanted God to talk to him and say, what is going to be the strategy? How are you going to help us? But even that, God said, no, not yet. One more thing you must do, remove your sandal. The sandal is the place, is the part of the bodies wearing the sandal, making it dirty, right? And of course, sometimes the sandals stink because of the sweat. And they are walking on the wilderness. There are a lot of sand, a lot of stone. But even now, why they have to remove the sandal? Remember when God appeared to Moses, he also told Moses to remove the sandal. Because the sandals or the shoes can represent unworthy or unclean things. But I'm pretty sure that Joshua, he didn't commit any sin at that time, right? He was a pretty holy person. But why he still have to remove the sandal? God wants to remind him and God wants to remind us. When we come close to God, when we come close to serving him, when we want him to be with us and lead us, you have to remove anything that doesn't belong to him, including the worldly influence and culture. Look at these sandals. Pretty nice. But a nice sandal is still a sandal. Right? When I went to a church in Malaysia, or in Sabah many years ago, That church was in the village, but they keep inside very clean, in the backdrop of the mountains. And when we are the overseers, I mean the visitor from overseas, when we enter, we were told, oh, please, visitor, there's one thing you have to do, remove your shoes, and then you can all go in. Wow, the first time I visited a church, that when you go into the chapel, you have to remove all your shoes. In Southeast Asia, I think it's pretty interesting. Let me think of in the ancient time, when you come to God. Now, think about this. I'm not saying that when you go into chapel now, you remove all your shoes. No need to do that physically. But think about this. Do you bring worldly cultures into God's worship? Or do we worship God in the way He wants it? Sometimes it's easy to wear sandal when we come to serve God. You say, oh, you know what? Other denominations, they do that. You know, I watched the video. This is what other people, the method, they do that. Or look at other churches. They have drums, right? They have rocks. They have bands, which attract young people. Or, you know, I can write whatever hymns, which so much resemble of rock music. Oh, I'm praising God, but you know, but you're using those arrangements. Or some people even use the pop song to remove the lyrics and put in the lyrics of the Bible verses. They say, wow, they want to use those melodies to praise God. But think about this, is it what God wants? It is what God wants or what you want. So think about this, right? When we worship God or when we serve God, do we just copy other people just because they are doing it? Or does it relate to the truth? Or for example, let's see the way we dress in the church. The way you dress in the church. Of course, in NYTS, we teach all of you to have a proper dressing code. This is the basic. And of course, in the old days, our church is very conservative. In Taiwan, in Southeast Asia, where our church started, it's very conservative. And we teach members how to wear and what to wear and what not to wear. But when our church come to America here, now because of the culture, sometimes, especially for young people, because so many movies you have watched and you think that, wow, it's normal to wear the way you see what the people outside wearing. But think about this, when you come to church, you are coming in a place different than the world. Whether it's a seminar, whether it is a workshop, or whether it's NYTS or just Sabbath service, anytime you come into the chapel, this is a holy ground. So wear differently. Wear according to the respect. For example, general rule for sisters. Whatever you wear, even though the weather is very hot outside, whatever you wear, you must not attract any sexual attention to your body from the brothers. Anything too tight, anything too short, anything expose your skin too much, anything sleeveless or too short the skirt, you are attracting sexual attention to you, and that is not good. Even though you don't intentionally attract it, but if you dress carelessly, too casually, the eyes of the brothers wandering and look at you, then defeat the purpose of worshiping. All brothers, when you come to worship God, the way, especially every Sabbath service or every worship, don't wear very casually, right? Don't wear like, I don't know how to call it, sleeveless, like basketball, those and then the shorts. This is not a beach, right? This is not a beach. This is a holy ground. Yeah. Wear proper dress shoes, proper pants, shirts, attire. This is how you worship God, because this is the holy ground. You are not even coming to deliver a sermon, but you are already in the holy ground. So, and don't wear jeans on Sabbath day. Right? Don't wear jeans, don't wear sneakers in the Sabbath day. You come to worship God. And of course, the worst thing is to wear broken jeans, right? There was one time there was a member, there was a sister wearing the jeans with holes. There was a pastor seeing that. He told the church council member, you know, that sister is so poor. Her jeans is broken. Should the church council help her with some money? The church council, no, oh, pastor, you are too old, right? They buy it on purpose. It's broken, you know, some hole, so that it's on style. Oh, the pastor said, well, I'm too old. I thought she was very poor. She needs financial assistance from the church. Worldly culture. Not only your clothes, your hairstyle, right? Don't use your hairstyle to attract attention from people. Don't try to stand out from your hairstyle. Your hairstyle, your hair color, don't use that to draw attention. This is not the way you want to draw attention. You use your character, you use your godliness to draw attention. Right? So remove the sandals. Don't over-adore yourself like sister. Okay, I think necklace is okay. Earring is okay if you are a sister, right? But nose ring, nose tongue ring, right? Those are not for Christian. Nose belly button ring, those are not for Christian. And for brothers, long hair is not for you. Earring is not for you. Tattoo is not for you, right? But look at what the Bible says, the proper respect, proper way to present yourself. Nothing personal. I'm just telling about what the Bible said. Remove your sandal before God, and you'll see God started from what you can do appearing. God will guide your inside your heart. Let's pray in silence.